And I'm aware of your church from way back. Paul Goodman was a youth pastor, Christian education director here. You remember Paul Goodman? Yeah. Paul and I used to work in a delicatessen together, Super Value Excelsior. You got Mutt and Jeff there. He's 6'6", 260, and I'm, I was a lot lighter then, but 5'8"? About, let's just go 190, let's say there, okay? I haven't seen 190 since 8th grade, I think. Just kidding. It's good to be here. I'm excited. I do teach in the Christian Ministries Department at Crown College. After college, I graduated in 1983, just after Paul did. I went back to Toledo, Ohio, my hometown, in 84. And I was there at a church called Westgate Chapel CMA for about 10 years, and kept working on some education, received my master's degree from Grand Rapids Baptist Seminary. Sorry about that, you Alliance folks. Had to go to the Baptist that time. And then just recently I received my doctorate in education from Nova Southeastern University. And I'm enjoying working with future youth leaders, future associate pastors, future pastors at Crown College. I love teaching online. I know some of you say, online, what's that about? But I love it. We've got people all over the Christian Missionary Alliance who are studying for the ministry without having to uproot their family, without having to go to NIAC or to a college anywhere. They can do it right from their living room, continue to provide for their family. And it's just been a great time. I've just enjoyed it. I'm starting, this is my 12th year by the grace of God over at Crown College, and many people probably would agree that it's been the grace of God for me. I'm not your average professor. Let's just say that I'm way on the other side of average, and I'm not necessarily meaning that good. Your average professor is usually a scholar, and I'm more of a people person than anything else. So what I want to talk to you today about is love. I want to talk about love. It's some general things. For some of you, these are things you've heard before. For some of you, maybe not so familiar with. But love has always been, for me, something that I've wanted to excel at, but I've struggled. It's like the opening of God's faucet, allowing that love to come down through us. And it comes down vertically as we accept it. And it flows through us like a little sprinkler to people all around us. Sometimes we block that spigot. Sometimes we don't allow the pipe to be clean. It needs a little Roto-Rooter job in there. I've cleaned out a few sewers in my day working in a meat market. Let's not go there. It's just before lunch. We don't want to talk about that. But some stinky, smelly stuff, let me tell you. 40, 50 feet to the street, and it was a meat market, so you can imagine what was going, never mind. Okay, let's just move on. The idea is today we're going to talk about love, and we're going to do it from the standpoint of three T's, and then I want to talk about some communication. But let's do a couple things, by the way. I just dig this, man. This is outstanding. Thanks, Will. Got it, big guy? Thanks. Here we go. One. Let's see. Come on, baby. What am I doing wrong, Will? Talk to me. What's coming? Hey! There's our title. What is love and how can it be expressed? What is love? What is it? That's what we're going to try to get to today. What does contemporary music tell you about love? Nothing. Appreciate that. But what does it tell you from a worldly perspective? Anybody? Unconditional. Does the world say that? God does, but I hear you. It is conditional for the world, but I'm hearing you, brother. go ahead, sir. What? It blinds you. Yeah, it can. Blinds you to facts because we allow it to become an emotion. We've heard I'll be 48 years old. What's today, 16th? A month from today. It's my birthday. You can send cards. No, I'm just kidding. Next November is my birthday. This November, 48. I'll be 48. So I've heard a lot of songs. Did you have your hand raised up there, ma'am? Go ahead, talk to me. Is it really? God bless you. I must have you by about 40 years, though. Well, 30 anyway. 40. Yeah, I'm like your dad. I remember the old days. You know how that goes. I'm a 70s kind of rocker, so hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? You know, hello, I love you, won't you tell me your name? Now, let's not get too carried away here, but obviously this young man is looking at a physical body. He's not necessarily looking at a person. Tell me your name. I love you. I'm in love with you. Yeah, I don't know your name. Hello. Okay, what about some other ones? Guys, you remember some other songs from that era about love that teach us the opposite of what is good? Anybody? Go ahead. You don't have to sing it. Go ahead. Go ahead. I'm listening. What? Who's got one? Love stinks. Love is a many splendored thing, you know, like it never shuts off, right? Oh, when he kisses me, it's like fireworks every day, baloney. But that's the impression we get, don't we? Hello, I love you. Won't you tell me your name? It doesn't work that way, does it? It really doesn't. Love tells us it's a physical thing only. It's a feeling. It's the feeling that I get when I feel like I'm in love. It's the feeling. And more than that, love is way, 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 way more than that. And this is some of the things that I've struggled with in my life, and especially keeping that pipe clean and understanding that God loves me, brother. How? Unconditionally? Is that what you said? Unconditionally. The world loves conditionally. If you do this, I'll do this. Jesus says, you don't have to do anything. I love you. So when we look at different aspects of love, we want to make sure that we go to scriptures and take a look at what they say. But let's see here. Here we go. 1 Corinthians. Let's look at this first of all. I like to do this. I like to take scripture this way and map it out so that it's easier to memorize and look at. But when you look at it, it says, love is patient, love is kind, love does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking. Now stop there just for a second. When you look at that, patient and kind, those are characteristics. Patient and kind, those are good. It does say it does not envy, it does not boast. We see many times people, oh, he's with me, she's with me kind of thing. Proud also there, not rude. It is not self-seeking. Wow. So, self-seeking. So it wouldn't be like what I can get from you or what you can get from me, but it's what I can give to you, what I can give to all others. Let's keep going here. It is not easily angered. It keeps no record of wrongs. I don't know about you, but that's a hard one for me. I'm a pretty good record keeper on some of these things. Love does not delight in evil. It, love, rejoices with the truth. It always protects. I've learned something new this week in our small group, Freshwater Community Church in St. Bonnie. The idea from Rick Warren is that love protects. Love can keep a secret. Love is able to say, your secret, your needs, your deepest needs and struggles are safe with me. It protects. Always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. 110%, 100% pure love will never fail. Now, you and I both know on this side of heaven, we're not going to have perfect love. It's just not going to happen. We can do our best, though, to allow that love to come through. And it's an issue that as an ex-Catholic of 22 years, I really, really struggle with thinking that God can love me all the time, even when I willfully do something that is contrary to His Word, sin. Contrary to His Word. Isn't that a fancy way of saying, like I screwed up? You know, sin. Can we just say it? S-I-N. Missing the mark, falling short of the glory of God. The concept of love is the basis of any ministry. Friends, it starts right here. Now, what the Catholics did do for me, my brother there, who is a music specialist, our organist, I'm sorry, your name again, sir? Okay. My brother, do you remember a little chorus called, "And They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Love"? And they'll know we are Christians by our love, by our love. Yes, they'll know we are Christians by our love. Yeah, I know you didn't want me to come sing today. I'm pretty sure, but you can handle that part. I'm not singing. Well, I just did, didn't I? Yeah. Very good. I got one fan in the back. That's good. All right, so when we look at this idea, we see the concept of love. Francis Schaeffer says, the final defense or the final apologetic for the church and for Jesus Christ is that we love one another. I was taught way back in college at Crown College that right down here, the foundation of any ministry, the first thing is love. It's got to be love. It must be. It has to be. It has to be love because that's how Jesus did it. So love, this is Sun Life Ministries, one of the ministries that's now developed into growing a healthy church in other areas. But love is intentionally doing something in Jesus' name, regardless of the cost or consequence to oneself. Now, people can give lots of money and not know Jesus Christ as their Savior. I would have to say that that's not love to me. I had arguments with my youth group on a couple of occasions. I think they just want to disagree with me. But I was right, of course. I don't think so, anyone can truly love until they know Jesus. They can't. We can't. We can't understand love, and we can't truly love, I believe, until we love and know Jesus. When you look at this, look closely. Regardless of the cost to oneself. Regardless of the cost to oneself. That's pretty strong, huh? Doing it in Jesus' name, regardless to the cost. Interesting things, isn't it? Well, I want to give you these three T's, and we're going to talk about a little communication here as it relates to what we're doing here. Jesus loves us with a what? It's a tender love. A tender love. Jesus said, "Let the little children come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." Now, I'm going to say that high schoolers, no offense to the high schoolers here, just hang on. That's you guys. I'm going to say that you guys, for the most part, will understand the tender love aspect. But you're not going to go with the tough love. You're not going to see it that way. And I got three T's. The first one is tender, and Jesus is tender. Jesus says, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of God." He wept when he looked at Jerusalem. He said, "I wish that you would come. I wish that you would just, like a hen wants her chicks to come. I wish that you would, but you won't. You won't repent." He looked at us and he said, like sheep without a shepherd. There was a compassion in Jesus Christ because he was God, fully man. But there was a compassion there for people. Read a book recently, "The Only Thing You Can't Do in Heaven." Witness is what the guy said. I say the only thing you can take to heaven is people. You can take them. George, you can take Joel to heaven. You did. Just because you're fishing for bullhead, right? Bullhead, you got to be crazy, George, but I still love you. 10 o'clock at night, you are a true Minnesotan. That's all I got to say, okay? Those mosquitoes must have been all over you, but that don't bother you, does it? No. Just doing what comes naturally. As he's going, you know what it talks about in Deuteronomy, as we go, we make disciples. He's sitting there and a divine appointment walks up. And he stays faithful. Now, I'm going to guess a couple things, George. You don't have to say anything, but you'd make a marvelous youth leader as far as I'm concerned. From what I can see, and we talk some more. And I say this to you, even though you might be 59 or 60 at this point in your life, okay? 72 is okay, too. Because you know what? You didn't talk down to the young lady, did you? You met her at her level. You respected her and she respected you. Yes, George, you are worthy of respect just because you are the elder. But you gave respect, she gave respect back, and she listened. We're talking about love there. And you saw the door open up, you went after it. That's a soul in heaven. That's a tender love. That's a tearjerker. Because that's how Jesus loves us, with a tender love. Now, can we at Northbrook, can we love one another the same way? Can we do that? Can we be there? I think we can. Jesus says that we can. We can be there for one another. Showing up for, what is that, the hook and rug? What? Help me out. Yeah. You don't know who's going to show up, do you? Somebody wants to show up there and they got a need. And you surround them. You pray for them. You meet with them. Could be a younger person in the congregation. I'm not going, though. I don't know how to do that sort of thing. So I can cut a steak for you, but I don't think I can hook anything. So never mind. The idea here is that tender love is what Jesus was about. But it was more than that. Point number two. Jesus went to what we would call tough love. Ah, he's got some tough skin there. Look at that. A little tough. Try to get a needle through there, huh? I had my knee drained on Thursday. I've got an arthritis thing going on. That's why I was limping around. But when I get up to preach, I don't hurt at all. What's that about, huh? It feels really good. Maybe I should just keep preaching all day. But he had to puncture. He took one vial out. I know some of this makes you sick, but he had too small of a needle. He filled that needle, and then he said, I got to go get a bigger needle. And he filled that needle. So, have anybody had a knee drain? No? Okay, well, it feels real good after it's drained. Anyway, my skin's so tough, I can barely feel it. Tough love. What about tough love? Did Jesus love tough? Did he? Is our understanding of Jesus something that would be standing firm for the cause of Christ with the body of Christ? I say to people, youth pastors, if everybody likes you, you must not be doing something right. I say that. Let me talk to you a little bit about tough love. I am a soft side lover. I love people. I would hate when my daughter would say to me, Daddy, I don't like you. I hate you. I just struggled with it. I struggled. Difficult time in my life in 1987, my third or fourth year of ministry. And I was just struggling holding people accountable. A lot of stress in that. Even in the relationship between my wife and I, there was something there that I was not loving properly. I was too easy. Hell, kick me, you know, walk on me, footsteps, you know, kind of thing. And I examined the life of Jesus, and I said, Jesus, is this how you lived life? I know you lived life loving everyone perfectly and loving life perfectly and being the compassionate lover that you are. But Jesus, could you love people tough? I asked a question, went to the book. Twice he cleaned out the temple. You have made my father's house, what? A den of robbers. Anybody stand up to him? Anybody say, hey, Jesus, you want a piece of this? No, nobody said nothing. Mm-mm. Hey, did anybody stop him? I don't think so. Righteous anger. There was righteous love there for the people. A love. What about Peter? Peter, in Matthew 16, what happens there? Who do people say that I am, Peter? Well, they say you're this and you're the Son of God. Who do you believe that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. Two verses later, get thee behind me, Satan. Because Peter doesn't want him to die on the cross. So what does he do? He gets right up in Peter's face. Why? Because Peter was a knucklehead. Let's be honest, okay? Peter had a hard head. He'd rather pop you a couple times and then ask questions later. That's how I feel about him. But when the Holy Spirit came into his life, he was just as strong, but with a spiritual strength that was just naturally a beautiful thing. But Jesus, Herod that fox, he was talking. He went up to the Pharisees. He said, "You brood of vipers, snakes, woe to you." He said, "Well, did Jesus sin?" No, he didn't. But he had intestinal fortitude to beat the band. And the question is, do we? Are we loving our families? Here's what used to happen. Are you ready? Here's an illustration for me, for you, for my life. So I have a 5-year-old and a 3-year-old, Katie and AJ. They're now 22 and 20. Well, let's go back a little further. Let's say 3-year-old Katie, 3 1/2, and AJ about 1 1/2. They used to sleep in the same room where I slept many years back in an old neighborhood in Toledo. It reminds me a little bit about Brooklyn Park here. And they would be in the same room. Now, Katie and AJ, you don't have to say, you know, tell them this. I'm just telling you guys. But we were weaned off the bottle at the same time because she just loved her, you know, ba-ba, you know. So she's slick, too, you know. She'd drink hers and then ask AJ if she could trade, and then she'd drink all of his. And he just loved his sister, so he put up with it. But they would be jumping around and jumping around and jumping around. I'd say, "Hey, guys, you got to stop jumping around. You got to go to bed." "Yes, Daddy. Yes, Daddy." He didn't speak much. You know, you could say, "AJ, would you like a cookie?" And Katie would say, "Yes, Daddy, he would." "AJ, is that true?" "Yeah, Daddy, he wants one." He just wouldn't talk to you. Not that I was a control freak or anything, but I'm saying to myself, am I truly loving my family when I'm not being tough with them? Am I? So the Lord began to work in my heart and in my life and show me what tough love really was. And tough love is necessary in the church today amongst us. We need to call each other accountable on quite a few issues as it relates to the Bible. I went in there and I said to them, "Daddy's done talking." "Yes, Daddy. Yeah." She's laughing. And he's jumping on the crib. The crib I had to put longer screws in because she about destroyed it. After he was done with it, I just crushed it up and carried it to the curb. I said, "I'm going to come back. I'm not talking. I'm going to bring the spoon, the wooden spoon, and I'm going to spank you." Yeah. A few minutes later, I went in there. I just have to show it to her. She starts crying. Okay, you got to give her a little whack, you know, a little bit, not too hard. And then him, he's got a diaper on, so I give him a couple of whacks, and he couldn't feel it. And it's kind of like looking up at me and saying, "Is that all you got?" And so I went a little further down on the thigh, got a couple of cracks in there. I got some tears going. And one could say, is that love, Waz? Oh, that's love. That is love, because in this body of Christ, we need to love one another with a tender love and with a tough love. And we have to understand both of them. We must. I have understood God so much on the tough side because of my upbringing in Catholicism, my father, and the way he raised us. I feared him. So when I looked at my father, I didn't want to be tough like that. I wanted to be tender. So I allowed my life to be out of balance. And I was not truly loving like Jesus would love. That's a question you want to ask yourselves. Am I loving like Jesus would love? Tough, tender. I've got one more T. Let me give you an example of my father's way of disciplining. Now, this is not a bad thing. But as a kid, 1970 or so, we lived in a neighborhood where, similar here, but there were factories, and people used to burn their rubbish. I don't know, you guys remember some of that. I mean, they had big incinerators, do you remember, sir? I was with an older kid one day, and we were back there throwing stuff in the incinerator, you know, watching burn up. But we found some aerosol cans. Uh-oh. Aerosol. So we're lobbing the aerosol cans in there, right? Boom! Oh, wow, that's so cool. Well, my house is only about maybe 400 or 500 feet down that way. You see this short little guy, Harry Joseph Wozniak, about this tall, big hands, little belly on him, you know, one of those white shirts, thick-toed shoes. He worked in Jeep Corporation 35 years. He called it his alma mater. He's got these glasses on. He's coming down there. I see him coming. I go, oh, boy, we got trouble. He said, I can't tell you what he said to me. he said, on the way home, though, he did finish with, I better never catch you there again. Do you understand me? Ever. You could die from that stuff. If I catch you there again, I'm going to beat you senseless. 3 weeks later, boom, 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 boom. Down the railroad track comes Harry Wozniak. He's walking a little faster this time. And he grabs me by the back of my shirt, and he takes me back through the gate, the fence, and sets me down in one of the chairs. And he went to the third drawer in the kitchen next to the sink. I could hear that third drawer was a little sticky, you know. He built those cabinets, so they were a little sticky. He should have smoothed it out. He came with what we called in Polish a strapina. It was a broom handle about this long with leather straps on the end of it. Kind of tacked to it, and he proceeded to hit my bare legs, because I had shorts on in the summertime, quite often. I got up out of that chair, I ran out the door after I got away, and I got to the neighbor's hedge, and I felt his hand again on my back. I didn't think that guy could run. Wow, he could move. Unbelievable. Grabbed me, pulled me back in, and I got a few more. Now, that may be, and it probably was, over the line. But I would venture to say Dad probably saved my life that day. We were stupid. But see, tough love within a congregation, based on confrontation of in God's Word, people who are sleeping together, people who are maybe visiting adult bookstores, people who are just being mean. They need to be confronted with a love based on the Word. It's got to be a violation of God's Word. But you see, we must love like Jesus loved. Let's look at one more T, shall we? And then we'll talk about this a little bit. Here's the love that I call totally unbelievable love. And if I was going to say it with young people, I'd say, like, totally unbelievable, okay? That would be the love. Totally unbelievable love. Greater love has no man, has no woman, than to give their life for another. There is no greater love. None. Anywhere. Let's see, but let's take a look at some of these. Now, I'm going to give you some things that are a little bit graphic here, so just stay with me. This is the scourging of Jesus. You've seen some of this on the Gibson film. But it was done with a flagrum. They called it with lead balls and sheep bones tied together. And they tied the person to the post. And then the lacerations, they would be bruised by the ball bearings. Jesus would be, or whoever was being whipped or flogged. With considerable blood loss, it says there. The two people would do it. They would, when they would come down and hit him, they would pull down and the bones would cut the flesh that they just bruised. So basically, Jesus' back probably had no skin on it whatsoever. It was meat. There was meat coming out of him. So while he's doing this, he's thinking about us. Totally unbelievable love. Here's the cross. Now, some people, it doesn't matter. We have problems at times with people who think it was a T or a cross. It probably was a cross because of the sign and everything. But I'm not going to go crazy about that. But some of these theologians and doctors talked about how heavy the crossbar was. And it could be anywhere from 75 to 125 pounds. And we've got a guy who has been up all night has had nothing to drink, really, nothing to eat, has just been betrayed by 12 of the people he spent the last 3 years with, including a young man named Peter, who basically has just denied him 3 times. We have an emotional, physical, and psychological, Jesus was a man, pain. But right now, he's thinking about us. This is the thing where they nailed his hands, as it were, in the Jewish mind, according to some of the theologians and others. The wrist part here was still considered part of the hand. I don't want to get into debate on that either, but what it was is he would have had to have at least a bone to pull up on here in a minute. I'm going to show you this one. Because if they went through his hand, it probably would have pulled out. It would have come out right here between his fingers. So when we see Jesus dying there, they took those spikes and probably went through the carpal tunnel area, the nerves. And while they're doing this, Jesus is thinking about us. What is love? How can it be expressed? And the feet in the same way, they didn't have to go way up by the ankle because he was going to be his weight pushing down. So the same sort of spike. By the way, the Romans were very good at this sort of thing. And they would use the same spikes. They clean them off and use them for the next person. This is where the spear went up through the chest. Remember? The scripture stated that none of Jesus' bones would be broken. Remember the prophecy? And they weren't. But they did check. And they took a spear and they went up through here, through the right lung area, up through to the pericardium. And the scripture says that blood and water flowed out. Now, that would make sense. The pericardium is around the heart. It's got water in it. And, of course, the heart would have blood in it. And blood and water flowed out. That was the one wound that he, very large wound, but this didn't kill him either. He's still thinking about us. But you see, the respirations during crucifixion is how they would kill people. They would break the other guys, well, they did that in Jesus' case. They would break your legs below the knee so that in order to respirate, to breathe and exhale, you'd have to come up and go down like this. Okay? When they came to Jesus, they saw that he was dead already, and they broke the legs of the others so that they would die quicker. The Romans were good at execution. Exhalation, it says, with elbows flexed and shoulders abducted with the weight of the body on nailed feet. To exhale is accomplished as active rather than passive process. Breaking below the knees would be a burden of exhalation on the shoulder and arm muscles alone, and soon would result in exhaustion and asphyxiation. So, who is he thinking about? He's thinking about us. He's thinking about you and I. So you have tender love, you have tough love, and you have what I call totally unbelievable love from God. We can't outgive God. We can't outlove God. It is totally impossible. But we can be ambassadors and represent Him here, right here. And it starts right here. Right here it starts. Amongst the believers. They'll know we're Christians by our love. Let me give you 5 things. All right? You know what? 5 languages, there's probably more than that. I've read more on that, but Chapman talks about these. And let me just give them to you briefly. I'm over, I guess, so I need to get going here. But he talks about verbal expressions. Telling somebody I love you. Telling someone how much you appreciate them. Telling someone how proud you are of them. Verbal expressions. There's the physical touch. In my youth ministry days when the arthritis wasn't as bad, and I know the girls in the youth group couldn't understand it, but we would push the couches to the walls and we would have big time wrestling with the boys. Yeah, it was fun. Great time. You say, you women are saying, you know, Waz, you're kind of crazy. No, it's that physical touch. Some of the boys, their fathers wouldn't wrestle with them. They couldn't or they wouldn't, whatever. But we could throw one another around, and they'd throw me around, and they'd pick on me, and they'd gang up on me. I had so much fun. My son said to me, I asked him one time, I said, AJ, how do you know Daddy loves you? He said, because you fight with me. Yeah, I do. Throw him around, body slam him on the bed, you bet. He just laughed, you know, and cackled. Ah, he loved it. I don't know, kind of sadistic to me, but, you know, he liked that. He loved that stuff. So you got verbal, you got physical. Now, even for some of the people in the youth group. Now, for me, I always think of youth group members now as my daughters. I think of their mothers as my sisters. Their grandmothers are my older sisters. But to give someone a hug, a physical touch like that for a young lady in the Lord who doesn't know really what the love of a father is that way, but that may be her language, to give her a hug in a gentle kind of way, in a side hug. But see, I had some Hispanic friends who, Monisha, her name was Monisha, she was Puerto Rican, you know, and she would, Pastor Wozniak, you know. She, you know, her head came about here, and she just wrap it around me and just squeeze, and, you know, I'm thinking, it's all right, we're in public. You know, I'll hug you. I'll touch you. I'll shake hands with you. I'll hold your hand. I'll be with you. In the right kind of way, from a fatherly perspective. But see, those are the touches. So we got two so far. Let's hit them all. One is verbal. How can we express these loves, even verbally, physically? Here's the other one. Extended time. Extended time. Do you know why Big Sandy works as a place of ministry? Do you know why? Extended time. You spend time with people. You go places. Extended time. T-I-M-E spells L-O-V-E. George, you have sons or daughters? Sons, go fishing with you? Lots, huh? Sit there drowning worms some Saturdays, huh? Just drowning worms, not getting any bites. You guys just shoot the breeze, what? Shoot the breeze, just talk, right? Do they talk about that with you, George? Did they ever say to you, Dad, that's what I remember best? Have they? Many times, it's even for you, George, that the kids would spend time with you. For my dad and I, was working on the cars. We'd work on the cars together, even though I was just a gopher. Go get this, go get that. That's okay. All right. The other one is is acts of kindness. Acts of kindness, things that you can do. I can take my daughter out to McDonald's. We used to have date day on a Thursday. It's my day off. We would go to McDonald's. She's one of the reasons why I'm big, too, because she wouldn't eat her hamburger. She'd eat all her fries, but she wouldn't eat her hamburger. And I couldn't let that hamburger go to waste. Come on, I'm a baby boomer. We don't let nothing go to waste, you know. You gonna eat that? Yeah. Okay, bring it over here. She can still remember that. Or when we bought her first Cabbage Patch doll. Oh, my goodness. What are they, 60, 70 bucks? Oh, brother. What's the point? You give Katie a card, you give her a keychain, and she's just, oh, thank you. Now, how does she respond? Same way. She's a giver. She buys birthday gifts for people not remotely related, first of all. And she would take cookies on her birthday to the high school choir. Well, they were my cookies. I don't know. You know what I mean, Butch? My house, my pans, my flour, my chocolate, my baking soda, even the containers they were put in were mine. Okay, I'm getting a little selfish here now. Notice I need prayer. But those things were mine, but she gave it to them. All right, so I don't know how that works. The last thing would be, so if you got verbal, you have physical, You have extended time. You have the acts of kindness. And then the last one would be acts of service, things that you would do for someone to help them out. I've watched widows who we've raked their lawns just cry in the driveway. They're trying to give us $20 or whatever it is, and we just say, I can't take your money. Can't take it. Oh, come on, come on. You don't even throw it at me. And I've had people throw money at me too sometimes, and then they'll go in the house. Don't throw the money at me. I can't leave the money, just like I can't leave that hamburger over there. Are you going to eat that hamburger, kid? All right, so let's wrap up so you can go home. I want you to think about these things, though. I want you to apply it right here at Northbrook Alliance, because I know that in my life all the time I need to apply it at Crown College, because we have a few disagreements now and then at the college, and we have some problems here and there. But your love language, if you sense love by being told I love you, then you'll probably do that with others. That will be your language. If you're an extended time person, that's how you will love others. Figure out, parents, what is your teen's language of love? What is your children's language? What are and speak that language. Do so tenderly, do so toughly, and do so with the unbelievable power of Jesus in his example. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you for this time, and we're grateful again for your love. It is unconditional. It is powerful. It is what holds the world together. It is why we are redeemed and free here. I thank you for Northbrook Alliance. I thank you for their history through the years. Lord, a flagship church for many, many years in the Christian Missionary Alliance. But Father, once again, they can be that flagship church. We thank you for the ways that you've provided here. For the Hobbs to be here, service, being of service as pastor, for just the opportunity of having the physical surroundings, Lord. We're just so grateful. And we just pray, God, not because Northbrook wants to be a flagship church, but because Northbrook wants to be all that it can be to the glory of God. Let the love flow here, Lord. Let the new foundation be poured, not for new building, but for new relationships, even in the families represented here, and then in this church family. Father, pour the foundation of Jesus' love, both that tender love and that tough love, and that totally unbelievable love when people say, I would give my life for you. I pray, God, that you'll just help us to do that in Jesus' name.